very pleased that you have asked me to address you, and I'm very pleased to be here. I think it's very important, and that's why I came. I would like to tell you how important internet is and will be for this part of the world. As you have just heard, I've set up a network of foundations to promote the concept of an open society in this part of the world, which had been dominated by communist dogma and was in fact a closed society. I don't normally define what I mean by open society, because I think it's a concept that in itself is better if it's not very exactly defined. People who have lived in a closed society or have had acquaintance with it understand generally what the concept means. It's really democracy, but in a sort of a deeper and more comprehensive sense. It's because democracy can easily become actually a dictatorship of the majority. And if it's carried to extremes through ethnic cleansing, it can actually be an instrument for creating a closed society. Open society recognizes that nobody has a monopoly of the truth, that there is nobody has the final answer to all the questions, and therefore you need a society which recognizes this fact. You need a government that's not dominated by a party, a society that's not dominated by the state. You need a rule of law, and you need a respect. You need institutions that protect minority interests and minority opinions. So I think that in some ways internet is a prototype of an open society. This is the way I see it, because it's been very largely self-organizing. It is dominated by the users. It is not confined by borders, and it's really open in every way. The foundation, the network that I established, actually is also meant to be a prototype of open society, and it has many of the same characteristics of internet, of this network. I don't know whether you even call it internet or rare or whatever it is. I don't know what the correct terminology for it is, because we have foundations in each of the countries which are more or less autonomous. The people there decide what the priorities are, and nobody, including me, knows exactly what's going on. And I think that is a very important aspect of an open society, that there are lots of activities that are spontaneous, self-generating, and there isn't a central control. I think that internet and communications are a tremendously important tool for creating an open society in this region, which has not been an open society and has just opened up. I think it's actually a little bit more than just a tool, because the collapse of the Soviet system has been a revolution. It accelerated and it ended with a big bang in 89 here in the Velvet Revolution in Prague and in the other Central and East European countries than in 91 in Russia. But it's a revolution that is really not complete, because the closed society of communism has collapsed, and the communist dogma is well and truly dead, and I'm sure it's not going to come back. But a new regime, a new form of social organization, a new idea of how society should be organized has not really emerged. When you look at the important revolutions in history, see, it was always the collapse of an ancien regime and the birth of a new idea or a new conception. And in this case, it's been a bit of a stillbirth. I think a large part of the fault is actually in the open societies in the rest of the world, who didn't demonstrate any great belief in themselves, in open society as a form of organization that is desirable and that ought to be propagated, for which you are willing to make some sacrifices, or in which you are willing to invest. And so there was relatively little support for the transition from the communist system to a new democratic open society. And the great lesson, I think, of this incomplete revolution is that open society, which does not seem to have very much of a structure, where people who live in an open society don't even recognize that they are living in an open society, actually is a more sophisticated, more advanced form of organization than a closed society where there is a group of rulers who are imposing their will on society, their will and their structure. And so it is to make the transition is a step up, which cannot be accomplished in a very short period, because you need to develop institutions and you need to develop people who believe in those institutions. And because of the lack of support for the idea of an open society, both inside the former communist regime and from outside, actually things are unfortunately going in a very wrong direction in this part of the world. I'm not talking right now about the Czech Republic as such, but I'm talking about the region in which my foundations are active. Because instead of making the transition to an open society, the closed society, the universal closed dogma of communism has disappeared, but instead of that, the region is breaking up or breaking down into smaller units, territorial units. And insofar as there is an organizing principle emerging, it is a principle of national and ethnic identity. And if you want to mobilize society behind that idea, you have to, the nation has to be endangered. And if it isn't endangered, you have to create a situation where it is endangered. So the rise of nationalism leads to conflict. And you don't have to look very far, a little bit south of here in Yugoslavia. You can see what it has come to. So unfortunately, the main trend at the moment is in the wrong direction. So there is an awful lot to be done to strengthen the idea of an open society. And I think that computer networking can both provide a very important tool, material infrastructure, But in many ways, it is also an inspiration towards that, in that direction. And that is why I consider it very important and regarded as one of the primary objectives of the foundation network to make computer communications freely and broadly available in the region. We have many problems, but before I sort of tell you my view of what we need to do, I have to make a confession, a personal confession, and that is that I personally am a computer illiterate. I actually don't know how to use a computer. When we first got a very powerful Data General mini computer in the office, I wanted to show it to my 5-year-old son, and I didn't know how to switch it on, and that kind of was a rather bad flop. And you may ask how I can be a total computer illiterate in this day and age. And I can only answer you by telling you an old childhood joke, Jewish joke, that comes to mind. And that is, a man applies for the job of shamus, which is an assistant to the rabbi, in Katowice. I don't know where that is, it's somewhere, I think. Anyhow, so he applies for the job, but he fails to get the job because he doesn't know how to read and write. And so he emigrates, and he starts out delivering newspapers, one thing that leads to another, and he becomes a very rich man. And he has a big company, and his banker comes to him and he says, you ought to go public in your company and issue shares. And he says, well, I don't know how to do that. He said, I've prepared everything. All you have to do is sign the documents. And he says, well, unfortunately, I don't know how to write. So the man says, you, successful man like that, you don't know how to write. I mean, if you just imagine what you could have accomplished if you knew how to write. And he said, I would be shamus in Katowice. So don't expect me to understand actually what we are trying to do in the field of internet. But as I see, basically there are five elements of what we need to do. And that is to provide international connectivity, internal connectivity, nodes or terminals, users, equipment for users, training for the users, and content for the network. This may be educational content or access to databases or whatever that may be. And I think there's a sixth element actually which just came out in discussion, and that's the legal element to ensure that actually the computer communication do remain free, because there is nothing irreversible about freedom of communication that we are currently enjoying. So I think we must really exert ourselves to secure the legal base for it. But these are the five areas, and our concentration is on training and providing equipment. But the two have to go hand in hand, because equipment without training is not much use, and vice versa. And then content, to the extent that it serves the general purposes of the foundation, which is mainly educational and cultural. And we must also occupy ourselves with connectivity, because without it, it doesn't work. But I hope that we can collaborate with other people in providing that collaboration, connectivity. In other words, other funders and of course the local authorities. Our most ambitious program is in the former Soviet Union and is connected with the International Science Foundation, which you may or may not know is the main instrument at the moment to keeping fundamental science alive in that part of the world. I should have said that really our involvement is twofold. One is we really need to use networking in our own foundation network, because we really need to have better communications, and we have to use, let's say, bulletin boards rather than one-on-one communications, either by telephone, fax, or email. And we are very close to having connected most of our offices, and we are now, our next step is to establish a bulletin board and use the real opportunities of networking. And that applies particularly for the Science Foundation, where we want to administer the grants through computers. But we also want to make computers generally available. And we have what I call a mega project, which extends beyond science and wants to make computers available, computer communications networking available to the entire community, schools, universities, museums, libraries, the media, and so on. And we have a pretty good plan, I think, establishing 26 major nodes, populations, the major population centers, and make both training and modems available in those centers. We want to make we selected a beta site, Yaroslavl, in Russia, and we will start there. And we hope that we will get cooperation from other funders. We are looking to the U.S. government, for instance, where Vice President Gore has shown great interest in opening up computer communications. Hopefully the European Union will not be absent either. And of course, we are collaborating with the government, and we have already, we are in the process of building a backbone in Moscow, a fiber optic backbone in Moscow. That is already advanced. In other countries, we have done quite a bit. In Estonia is the one where we moved first by providing a switch that connected Estonia to Stockholm, I think. And I believe that Estonia is really quite advanced now in networking. Mm-hmm. And in Romania, for instance, we have provided content, actually, in the schools, where we have about 36 schools that have computers. So we intend to, as I said, we have started, we have this comprehensive program. I'm delighted to have had the opportunity for these people to participate in the workshop. I hope we will have many more workshops, both internationally and locally. And I want you all to know how important I consider this. It's not purely a technical matter. I think that there is a content in having an organization that is itself a prototype of an open society.